You've been staring at your computer screen for so long, you can see your presentations, spreadsheets, and documents when you close your burning eyes. These tasks take forever. You know there's a better way, but how? You want to improve your presence in meetings, but how? Stop working so many hours. Become the authority for reporting at work. Fix work problems before they happen. This is the Business Intelligence Podcast. Plug into the Business Intelligence Reporting Community at www.getreporthelp.com. You're not alone, and yes, you need help.
So I thought I'd start off today talking about why I've started this podcast. Part of the reason why I started this podcast is in conjunction with why I started Get Report Help. The purpose that I have for this is to find other reporting experts. What I've found is that in reaching out to other companies and other people across the web, that there are a set of people that have a certain strong set of skills in terms of how to do reporting. And usually there's only one or two of those within a company. That's probably you. So what I found is that trying to reach out to these people and get them excited about sharing what their best business practices are. I mean, there are techniques that I've used that have saved me hours of time. There are pieces of code that I've put together that have made it so much easier to get pieces done. And there's a just talking about the mindset and how you can manage data, you know, the different strategies for this. It allows you to start a project and have a good, clear vision for how you're going to finish this thing. And that saves you so much time having to not deal with having to rework an effort or a project. You know, you start it and you say, I know what I need at the end, but I don't know how to organize it or structure it or put it together. Well, that's what I want to do, is talk about those kinds of things. And this is for those people that are doing reporting. You know, sometimes you put your reports together and you sit there and wonder, you know, is there a better way? Is there maybe a faster way? Or even if we're talking about your reports and giving them like some sort of competitive edge. I mean, you look at a report and you go, wow, that one, it tells the story, it's clear, it's understandable. Well, that's the kind of stuff that I want to put together. That's what the website is designed for. That's what this podcast is all about, is giving you these best business practices, showing you how to manage data, and helping you with your reporting, giving them a competitive edge, making you stand out so that you are the business intelligence professional. Let's jump into our first segment.
And now, the feature segment.
The theory of comparative advantage is an economic theory that's very old. It's very well researched and written out and documented. And I'm going to spare you all of the details about who came up with the term and which paper it was in and how it was tested out and proven and retested and how it's become one of the canons of economic theory. But what I want to do is talk about how it applies to you. This year, I'm going to do something that is very hard for me to do. It's not something that I normally think about. I struggle over letting go of this task. It's not necessarily something that I'm the best at, but it's something that I do know how to do, and so it makes it that much harder for me to just let it go. I, this year, am going to let somebody else do my taxes. Now, you may have already, you know, decided to hire H&R Block or some other company to, you know, to produce your taxes, but for me, with a background in accounting, it's kind of one of those things like I feel like I should be doing. You know, I know the tax code, I studied it, I researched it, I sat for the CPA exam, so when it comes time to do my 1040 and my going through my Schedule C and all of that, you know, I know how to do it. But the thing is, I find myself digging into more detail than I probably should. I find myself researching different tax deductions that, you know, some of them are just wasted. I go through it and I realize, oh, you know, that doesn't apply to me. And so I find that, you know, if I was working in accounting, I probably would burn through my taxes in half an hour, maybe an hour of time. But because they're my taxes, and because I want to make sure that I get every little deduction and every little piece in there, it takes me a whole weekend. And this is why the theory of comparative advantage, that's why I'm going to not do my taxes this year. So comparative advantage means this. If you have a certain set of skills that are your core competency, it's what you do best, that is what you should focus all of your effort and resources on. And you shouldn't be focusing on other tasks. So the way this worked in most papers, or the way this theory came about, it was talking in terms of one country to another country. If one country is, say, like, you know, South Africa or something, you know, has huge amounts of diamonds, you know, as a resource within their country, they will sit there and mine the diamonds, but after a point, how many diamonds can you really have or use that makes sense? You know, everyone's got a diamond bracelet, everyone's got a diamond earring set, and then you still have all of these diamonds. But guess what? You need food. You need corn. You need flour. You need, you know, food to eat. And, you know, here you are sitting with a stockpile of diamonds. Well, the theory of comparative advantage summarizes into this tagline. Do what you do best and outsource the rest. So in the South Africa example, what it means is they will in turn focus on mining diamonds. They'll focus on extracting them and buffering them and getting them ready and selling them out to the market. And in exchange, they will get corn and flour and wheat and whatever else they need as a country. It doesn't make sense based on their land, and, you know, I don't know specifically, I've never been to South Africa, so I'm just kind of speaking this as an example. Somebody's welcome to clarify this in the show notes or in a post. I'd love to get some clarification if any of this is inaccurate, but I'm pretty sure it is. You know, South Africa doesn't have a great land. You know, the climate and all of that isn't great for growing you know, all these types of produce. You know, so what makes sense is for them to focus on what they do best, in this case, using the natural resources that are in that area, and then focusing on just getting or outsourcing the other things that they need. And in so doing, it actually lowers their cost for all of their efforts. I'll give you to you in this example. Nobody goes into their breakfast, you know, goes into their kitchen in the morning to eat breakfast and decides to go out and mine some copper, hammer it into a pan, go out, raise chickens, pull the eggs from the chicken, start their own fire by, you know, starting up their own, you know, cutting down a log or a tree or something like that, and starting up a fire, putting the copper pan over the fire with their homegrown egg, and then they're going to take a stick or, you know, build some sort of, you know, resin mold and make their own spatula so that they can flip the egg so that they can have breakfast. We just don't do that, right? We don't do all of the steps in order to have that breakfast. Instead, what we've done is we've bought the pan, we've bought the stove, we've bought the spatula, we buy the eggs, and we combine them. And so for us, for what we're concerned about is we eat the egg. We want to make breakfast, but we don't make all of the things that we have to make in order to have breakfast. Instead, we've outsourced that. You may not realize that, but when you buy a good or a service, that's outsourcing. You are saying that I'm not going to do this myself. Instead, I'm going to buy this. And so that's what the theory of comparative advantage focuses on. And we do it all the time. We just haven't necessarily used that label because we didn't realize that. So when you're at the office and you have a decision whether or not your company is going to make or buy a product, you know, should we hire this company and have them turn around and produce the product, then we'll market and sell it? Or should we, fire up our manufacturing and adjust our equipment and, you know, make this product ourselves? Well, let's go back to theory of comparative advantage. Is this what your company does best? Is this their core competency? You know, if the core of your business is to make products and make this wide variety of products or, you know, this type of product, then yeah, by all means, make the product. But if it's an add-on product, if it's something that's not necessarily within your skill set, that it will require new and different activities, and you're not sure if it's going to work, I mean, all of those things are indicators that this is not necessarily your core competency. It's not what you do best. So you should definitely buy that product. Start off small and buy it and see if it works. The theory of comparative advantage says do what you do best and outsource the rest. So you walk into the office, you've got your 9 o'clock meeting, and the boss has everybody sitting at the table and says, we need to decide how we're going to handle our marketing. We need to decide how we're going to handle this situation. Well, do we hire a marketing firm, or is this something that our people can do? Again, mental checklist, theory of comparative advantage. Is our company the best at marketing? Do we know how to do that the best? If we don't, if that's not our specialty, if our specialty is really in manufacturing, our specialty is really in customer service or some other area, then we should be hiring a marketing firm to do this. This isn't something that we should be burning our time and resources on, focusing our own people to do something that's not what we do best. We should be outsourcing that. What we should be doing is having our people that do the best thing that they do, and they should be running gangbusters on that, because that's what makes a competitive advantage. When you focus on what you do best, and you hammer that, and you make that your core competency, and you drive it so that that is the thing that you do, and you do it well, then the value is really released at that point, because you are not getting tangled up in all of the other pieces of the business, all the other pieces that you need for that product, or all of these other distractions. You know, you focus on what it is that you do best. So that is the theory of comparative advantage. You can use that term now. All right, so let's jump to the next section.
And now, the actionable information you've desperately needed.
So in my reporting experience, where I've produced reporting for a wide variety of people in a lot of different companies, what I found is that there's really kind of a dividing line when it comes to using Excel. And there are people on both sides of the fence. And both groups of people will say that they know how to use Excel, that they're an expert in Excel. And, you know, it's a term that's easy to throw around. And there are some tests that you can take to kind of prove your Excel skill set. One of the simplest ones that I find, both in interviewing people as well as in just quickly gauging when you're talking with somebody or looking at how they're doing their work and how you can help them. This formula it's that clear dividing line. It's like, if you know this formula, then you're on the side of the fence that says you have some pretty good Excel skills, that, you know, you're teachable, you're trainable, you're up a notch. If you don't know this formula, then, you know, really all you're doing is you're just moving the numbers around and you're just kind of following along. You're treating it just like you would a glossary or an index of a book. You know, you don't actually know the material. You just know how to maybe find some of the material or maybe sort of work on it. So knowing this formula really separates the groups of people. And I find that just asking the question and just having them demonstrate it, it's just being right there. You just draw that line. You go, okay, now I know kind of that you're beyond basic. this is that dividing line. And the formula is called a VLOOKUP. So a VLOOKUP, the V stands for vertical. And what it does is it allows you to take two sets of data and put them together based on one particular item. So in your mind, just picture that we have a set of data that is a customer name and a customer number. Okay. So you've got this chunk of data that has customer name and maybe some of the customer information, maybe address or phone number or any of that stuff. But it's also got in your system, the customer number, right? The unique number that's assigned to that account, okay? So you've got that set of data. And then you've got another set of data, which is you've got every sales order that you've ever had within the company for all time. And so you've got all these sales orders, and you've also got the customer number and, all these other attributes about the sale. So like how much revenue it had or parts or all this stuff, right? So you've got these two sets of data. You've got the customer and you've got the sales order. So a lot of times what happens is that you need to combine these things. You need to find which customer or a phone number for a customer that made a purchase, right? So you've got the customer, you've got the sales order, but you need to get the customer information. Now, ERP systems and other tools usually combine these things. So, we're not talking about the SQL, and we're not talking about the joins between two data sets and, in an ERP system. What I'm talking about is just a simple example to kind of give you an idea as to how a VLOOKUP works and what it does. Okay, so you've got customer data, you've got a sales order set of data. What a VLOOKUP allows you to do is take either one of those sets. We'll say the sales order. We can look up on that other chunk of data the customer information, because we have one unique field or one item between these two. Okay, if the sales order has the customer number and your customer set of information has a customer number, you can use that in a vertical lookup, in a VLOOKUP, to combine that information. And so using this thing happens all the time. And when you deal with these large chunks of data or even small chunks, but you need to look it up from one set, from one source to another source, a VLOOKUP is a very powerful tool. And it is really that dividing line between people that know how to use Excel and those that just kind of deal with what Excel is presenting them. Now, the good news is I actually have a video out on the website that shows you how to learn a VLOOKUP in 90 seconds. I walk through an example, you'll see the screen, you'll see the motions, and I walk through all the details. So I'm not going to walk through that here because it's a visual thing. You need to know how to use that formula. But I want you to understand it's a very powerful formula, and it's a very clear dividing line in terms of where you are or assessing other people and where they are in their Excel skills. So they may say they're advanced. Do they know how to use a VLOOKUP? If the answer is no, they are not advanced. Okay, this is the basic formula that separates people from basic use of Excel to intermediate and advanced. Thanks for joining me, and I'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Business Intelligence Podcast. Plug into the Business Intelligence Reporting Community at www.getreporthelp.com. Go right now to the website. Design reports that amaze your boss and coworkers. Dominate spreadsheet tasks. Get information you can use right now. Go now to www.getreporthelp.com and get a free video, 3 formulas everyone should know.